Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Wednesday, January 26th. How you doing out there? I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Like always, thank you for all the downloads and support. As today, we're just going to break down the Edmonton Oilers game. Two in a row, baby! Two in a row. We'll go with the good, the bad. We'll hear some post-game comments as well and some juicy news coming down the pipe from a couple of TSN dudes. So we'll get to all that. It'll be a nice and quick one today. So let's get right to it as the Edmonton Oilers. Oh, you can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Lockdown Oilers. But the Oilers pick up a 3-2 overtime win over the Vancouver Canucks. The Oilers now sit with a record of 20-16-2 for 42 points. They're still sixth in the Pacific Division, but they got some games in hand, and we're going to have to make good on those to catch up here. They've won two straight, first time since the stretch from December 16th to the 18th when they beat Columbus and Seattle. We all remember that. And goals by Ryan McLeod, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Mikko Koskinen, 25 saves on the night. The special teams, power play 0-for-3, PK 1-for-1, so some good, some bad for sure. Lots to get to break down this game, and it didn't start well, obviously, down 2-0 in the second. The first was kind of just back and forth, kind of ho-hum, and then the first goal. Is it a good goal or bad goal on Mikko? I saw it almost split. Some people say that was a hell of a shot between the legs of Cody Ceci. People were blaming Ceci for his gap, and then some people were blaming Mikko Koskinen for being too far in his net. Where do you stand on that goal? At first, I was like, hey, that's a hell of a shot, and it was. But then looking at it again and seeing some images on Twitter, he's still too far into his net. And he's such a big guy that he just makes himself small when he does that. So you like to see him a little bit more out on that play. So I'm going to say it's not a terrible goal, but Mikko, he has to be better than that. In that sense. And the power play goal, bad read by Bouchard, not the best move by Mott, so that goal is like, you're not going to be too harsh either on Koskinen. Now, we're going to get to the good, because there was for Mikko Koskinen. Oilers fought back, and that's good to see. Their last three wins, and this courtesy of Brian Swain from the Hockey Writers, does a lot of U Sports stuff, said the Oilers' last three wins, they've trailed in that game 2-0. So they're down 2-0, guys. Don't worry too much. So let's get to the good for the game. I just mentioned it. They fought back again in the third period in a nice little greasy goal by Ryan McLeod. Just put the puck on net. And times we were like, is Spencer Martin really going to shut out the Edmonton Oilers? Because he was playing really good up until that point. I think you got to be happy with Leon Draisaitl. He's returning to form. He had a beauty goal once again on just a sick pass by Nuge. He had 11 shots on net. So he's heating up, three goals in his last two games. Koskinen, I know people are going to be like, Hernan, you're so hard on him, but I just wanted to say he did make a big save at 2-1 McDavid giveaway on the power play again, and he was able to stop Tyler Motte there to keep it 2-1, and the Oilers would find the tying goal just moments later. So that's a big save by Mikko Koskinen. PK 1-for-1, baby steps, sure. Take it. So Yamo was active in this game. He had like four or five really good looks. He probably should have had three goals in this one, but not going to be too harsh on him. He's got to start finishing some of those, definitely, but at least he's in the right spots as he had many great looks. He orders at 50 shots on net. They had over 90 shot attempts, and I think Vancouver's only allowed about a 40, so a nice big gap there for the Edmonton Oilers. Great strategy in overtime. Finally, he split up the big two and rotated more guys, and they were a lot more fresh, right? And I know today on the lowdown, one gentleman was texting and saying, well, they still played 2-3 minutes. Yes, but not in a row, right? Like, McDavid started with Nuge, then they came off, Draisaitl jumped over. So, yeah, they still played a lot, but they had shifts where before they would be on the ice for the first 3 minutes and dead tired, and then it would usually lead to the other team scoring. So I loved it. You saw Yamo there, you saw Nuge there, you saw Jesse Puljujarvi there. Hell, if you get Zach Hyman, you're probably going to see him out there as well. And they dominated because they were fresh and they were rotating guys. Should have won that game a lot earlier in overtime, but Spencer Martin was making some good, great saves at times, and they just missed on a few as well. But a great rush by Darnell Nurse to shield the puck, and Connor McDavid's able to finish it off. And that's another thing. McDavid scores, which is absolutely huge for this team. He hadn't scored since December 31st, I want to say. Yeah, that New Jersey game where he had 2 goals. Good to see him get back and smiling again. And Nuge, really good in his return, especially in overtime. I thought he was good. And that pass again, just sick, wicked, and nasty. But that's the good from the last night's game. In the second segment, we'll get to the bad, because there's still some bad in this game, but it's positive they've won 2 games. And now going into tomorrow, that's going to be an interesting game. One I'm feeling good about, guys. I don't know why, but I'm feeling good about tomorrow's game. I think the Oilers are going to have some success on Thursday against the Nashville Predators. But that's all coming up next, and we'll also get to some post-game audio and some juicy news coming down the pipe. Oilers fans might be, I don't know if you'll be happy, and some people are probably not going to like it, but there's some juicy news coming down the pipe here as we head into the weekend. This is the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week 3, you might be thinking, this is just not worth. Where's the chocolate? Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan, the man. It was good to be on the postgame show yesterday. I must say, it was fun to see the listeners' passion. A lot of fans were happy. There was a few that were still like, they're not playing a good game. And that's fair. They're not playing that A game yet, but hey, the way this thing was going here in Edmonton, you'll take 2 wins and doesn't matter how. Let's get to the bad here. Power play 0-for-3 against the worst PK in the NHL, plus a shorthanded goalie gains. Oilers have to start taking advantage of those kinds of situations. 5 hits after 40 minutes, just not good enough. Now, this team's not built to be overly physical, but you can't have 5 hits. And on the good side, Darnell Nurse probably threw his best hit of the year in the third period. That was an awesome hit, and you need more of that. So in the end, hits were 16-13 for Vancouver, so it's not like it was an overly physical game, but you can't have 5 hits after 40 minutes. You have to bump that number up at least to 10. Minimum 10 after 40 minutes. Lulls in game, and we talked about this on the post game last night as well. It's happening far too often. In the second period, they had 1 shot up until 7 minutes to play, and then they put about 4 or 5 on net. But it's those lulls in the game that are hurting the Oilers, right? Like, they can have 1, 2, 3 really good shifts or play good for 7, 8 minutes, and then they completely fall off for 13 minutes like they did yesterday in the second period. They fall off for 5 minutes or a couple of shifts, and I think that's the biggest issue right now with the Edmonton Oilers. It's just they don't see the urgency in the game when the game's there to grab, because yesterday in the second period up until that first goal, like, the game was there for them. Get that first goal, but they weren't putting any shots on net against a guy that doesn't play a lot in the NHL. So that's the frustrating part, is that those lulls in the game have to start getting minimized. And you're going to have them, every team does, but the Oilers have them way too often, and that's hurting them, because most of the time the puck ends up in the back of the net. So they got to clean that part. You can't just disappear or fall off. When you're playing well, you're playing good, and then for stretches, you're just terrible. Like, you got to have more of a balance there. So I'll say the lull in games is bad as well. Bad read, sure. You look at the Bouchard one on the power play, he's dead tired. Maybe you just sit back on that one, sure. McDavid turnover on the power play too, that Koskinen and bailed him out. He even said it after the game. He bailed me out. Kudos to him. But McDavid can't turn that puck over, and good on Koskinen for making that save. First goal again. 10th straight game, guys and gals. 10th straight game. And the Oilers allowed the first goal for the 25th time in the last 29 games. It's beyond ridiculous. You almost expect the Oilers just to be the 1-0, down 1-0, and then you just have to fight back and tie it and take the lead like they have in the last couple games. But, man, eventually this team will score the first goal. Will it be Thursday? Maybe. I brought up Koskinen, the two goals. I wasn't a big fan of them. I don't think they were horrible goals. But, yeah, first one, I'm leaning more towards, like, yeah, he should be more, step out a little bit more. He was too far back in his net. Second one, I didn't love either. It's a breakaway, not the best move, but he did make up for it in the third period, making that big stop. And I'll say this again. NHL goalies make that stop. That's NHL goaltending. So, like, we got to stop praising every save that he makes. Like, and I know it's been a rough stretch here for the goaltenders, but hey, good on him. Thank you, Koskinen. Gave the Oilers a chance to tie the game and then win it in overtime. But let's not go over the moon here and be like, oh, he was great. No, that's NHL goaltending. And then I don't know how you guys feel about this, but 97 and 29, over 27 minutes for McDavid, over 26. For a team that is struggling and still trying to find their game and they're not scoring a lot of goals. And I just think that's way, and I know overtime probably add the 2-3 minutes there. So they're probably at 24 and 25, but there's got to be a solution where these guys are not playing that many minutes. You're destroying them. You're wearing them out. Like, and they're going to play a lot of hockey from here on in. And you can't have these guys just gassed playing 26, 27 minutes a night. You need a lot more. Now you get Hyman back. Is Nuge going to make the shift to the third line? Who knows? I mean, Dave Tippett had us all thinking that. Then he kind of flipped the script on us and had him out there with Connor McDavid, which is fine. But eventually, these guys need help. Lessen the minutes for them. They're still going to be a big part of their team. They play a lot on the power play, obviously. So maybe cut those down. You probably want them anywhere from 18 to 22. You got to be confident in your other lines. And those other lines have to contribute, though, and play solid and not get scored on and produce in order for Dave Tippett to feel comfortable. So I get it. But you can't keep playing these guys that much, especially with the schedule that's upcoming for the Edmonton Oilers, because you're going to gas them, and you need these guys as fresh as possible. So that's the bad. A lot of good. Still some bad for the Edmonton Oilers, but they were struggling mightily. So we'll take the 2 wins in a row. We'll take the 4 points, and you just got to keep building on these wins into Nashville and then Montreal on Saturday. So, coming up next, we'll hear post-game audio, and we'll get to, I've been teasing it, Darren Dreger, Ryan Rashog reporting on Evander Kane earlier today, and we'll get to all that. That's next here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Last segment here on Locked On Oilers podcast for this Wednesday. Edmonton Oilers feeling good about themselves. 2 straight wins. It's been a while since we've been able to say that, since December 16th to the 18th, when they beat Seattle and Columbus. Man, it feels like such a long time ago. Oilers back at it tomorrow, 7 o'clock against the Preds. And then they're on the road as they head to Montreal, 5 o'clock puck drop on a Saturday. I love those Saturday early games. So looking forward to that. And the Oilers gotta make some hay here as they'll get the Senators on Monday in Ottawa. Then it gets tough. Capitals, Golden Knights for a couple of those games to start off February. So Edmonton Oilers need to pick up some points here. And they're playing some teams that they should be able to beat here, especially in the Canadiens and Sens. But let's get to it. I've been teasing it. Actually, let's get to some audio first. Dave Tippett, Connor McDavid did meet with the media following their 3-2 win. Let's start with Connor McDavid. And just on the win last night, another bounce back effort similar to what we saw on Saturday night against the Flames. And here's the captain on the Oilers' second of win.
That's important. You want to get it on a little roll here. Obviously, that's the main focus. And, you know, it was a big win on Saturday. It's a big win tonight. Got to keep marching forward.
One more from El Capitan. It's first goal since December 31st. But it was nice to see him score, and he scored the OT winner. And he had some good looks. He had some good setups as well. There was one to Yamamoto in the slot that Yamo has to finish. But looks like Connor McDavid is trending in the right direction, as is Draisaitl. But here is Connor McDavid just on getting back on the score sheet.
Yeah, I've been a bit snake bit, you know. I feel like I'm getting my chances, but, you know, haven't been able to put one away. So, you know, it was nice to be able to contribute and find a way to score a goal.
Let's head to Dave Tippett. Similar question to Connor McDavid to open it up. Just another gritty effort in that third period to be able to tie the game and then win it in overtime. Here's Dave Tippett on his team's effort.
I thought we were strong the whole game. You know, we were down two. We felt like we were playing well, so we had to stick with it in the third. McLeod got a big goal for us to get going. Then our power play really dominated for a couple minutes and finished one, and then it was exciting. We had lots of chances to win it, and I was glad to see the final one go in.
One last one. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins made his return to the lineup after missing a lot of games here for the Edmonton Oilers. He's quality. He's a big part of this team, especially on special teams, but he did play well 5-on-5 as well. He had an absolute beautiful assist on Dreisaitl's tying goal, but here's the head coach on Nuge's return.
Real strong. Like he touches so many parts of the game. He's a strong player, really smart, and he's still getting up to speed when you miss that much time, but he played a real strong game tonight.
That was the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Tippett, and the captain, Connor McDavid, following last night's game. The boys have an optional today, so we'll see if we get any news out of there, but just kind of wanted to recap what happened last night as the Oilers now 2 wins in a row, remain 6th in the Pacific ahead of Vancouver and Seattle, but have a ton of games in hand on the California teams. So we'll see if they can make some hay in that aspect. All right, get to it. I've been teasing it all podcast. Evander Kane looks like a decision might come down tomorrow. And this is what TSN insider Darren Dreger had to say on Twitter. As Evander Kane awaits word from the NHL on further suspension or not, the Oilers' interest in the power forward remains strong. Sources say Kane met with GM Ken Holland and head coach Dave Tippett earlier this week to discuss his fit on the team. Oilers are one of two teams in the mix. We're trying to break it down. We know Tampa's out, so I think the other teams in there are Florida and Washington. So we'll see where Evander Kane, if there's no suspension, ends up. And then TSN's Ryan Rashog tweeted this out saying, assuming a decision comes tomorrow, sounds like Kane could be ready for games as early as the weekend or early next week. Sources say he has been skating for a week or so in Vancouver. Contract details need to be buttoned down, but strong sense Edmonton will land him. So how are you feeling about that? I mean, let's just talk about on the ice. On the ice, he brings something the Oilers lack, and that's physicality. He can score, he can hit, he can fight, he does it all. And he can, you know, and he can probably talk with the best of them on the ice. And he is a legit top six forward, and he is a legit power forward. So I think this guy's going to help this team score goals and get engaged more physically. Now you have him, Cassian Nurse. That's not a bad thing here moving forward. Who did he play with? Dreisaitl or McDavid? I think he has to play with Connor McDavid. You probably move Hyman down, then Fogle drops to the bottom six. It's just, it creates better lines all throughout. Does Nuge move to the third line center? We'll wait and see on that, but it gives Tippett more options and more depth, and you're going to have more quality on your third line and your fourth lines as well, as everybody moves down one notch. So we'll keep tracking this, but it's sounding like the Edmonton Oilers will get him if he is not suspended. We're waiting on the NHL's ruling. Sounds like it might come down tomorrow, but according to Darren Dreger, Ryan Rashog, Edmonton sounds like they're the front runner, so he'll be joining the Edmonton Oilers if everything works out with the NHL. What number will he wear? Who will he play with? How much of an impact will he have? What does the contract look like for the remaining of this year? All those things we'll, I'm sure, talk about when he eventually does join the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, won't play tomorrow if he is indeed joining the Oilers. This is all, we're all assuming that he's joining the Oilers, okay? But he could play Saturday or he could play Monday in Ottawa if he is signed by tomorrow or Friday. So look at those games for maybe Evander Kane to possibly join the Edmonton Oilers. So are you excited? Are you happy? Do you not like it because of all the off-ice issues this player has? Done some bad things for sure. This is a hockey podcast and we're talking about him joining the Oilers on the ice, and I think he will help. And we'll see if Kenny Holland can sign him up here, and if the NHL does not suspend him after crossing the border, AHL, all those issues that they're looking and investigating. So Evander Kane, it looking like it's becoming more and more of reality. How are you feeling about your team? Do they have to fix up some things? 100%, but they're 1-2 games in a row. I said I'm feeling good about Nashville's coming in, winners of 3 straight. I just have a feeling Edmonton's going to play a strong game tomorrow. I don't know. And we were talking about it yesterday. Who would you play in net? Because when Koskinen plays too much, things start going downwards. And I don't agree with, like, I don't think playing 2 games Saturday and Tuesday, you should be that tired or that rattled. But I don't know. Do you go with Skinner and say, go get me the win against Nashville? Or do you go back to Mikko Koskinen, who's been good in these last things? Not great, good. Interesting question. But how are you feeling about the Oilers' two-game win streak? Who would you start Thursday night, Skinner or Koskinen? How are you feeling about the potential of Evander Kane joining the Edmonton Oilers close as tomorrow or Friday or even the weekend at the latest? And what number would he wear here in Edmonton, and who would he play with? Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. We talked about the good and bad from the Oilers' 3-2 overtime win. There's, I think, more positives than negatives. The big boys are getting going. You're getting better goaltending. The turnovers, the lulls in games are still there, but not as much as when they were on that 7-game losing streak. That first goal remains an issue. Hopefully they can fix that. Special teams, they have to continue to improve. They have to continue to improve. You can't go 0-for-3 against the worst power play PK unit, in the league and give up a shorty. But on the flip side, they went 1-for-1. They killed off the only power play for the Vancouver Canucks. So baby steps here for the Edmonton Oilers, and they will return to action at Rogers Place against the Nashville Predators tomorrow. Preds on a 3-game win streak, Oilers on a 2-game win streak. Something has to give, and we'll find out and tee it up all tomorrow on the podcast. Like always, download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at LockedOnOilers. Like always, thank you for the continued support, and look forward to the game tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Stay safe. Stay warm out there. For my producer Juanito and the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We will talk tomorrow.